Well, Titus 1, what are we to make of Titus? Well, clearly there had been preaching in Crete, on this island of Crete, and there were now churches established all over the place because Paul asks asks Titus to stay there in Crete. He says, I left you in Crete, so that you might appoint elders in all the different cities. So there were a network of churches throughout Crete, and Crete might be, at first blush, a slightly unusual place to think that the gospel would have spread, because it was an island with a total sort of port mentality. Because of its location, they made fairly easy money by selling things to passing sailors and passengers, etc. Had a reputation for the good life, laziness, easy money, pleasant climate. Grew a lot of vines there, so there's a lot of alcohol around. They were not particularly hard-working people. And so he says this, verse 12. He quotes one of their own who said, Cretans are always liars, idle gluttons, etc. And he says, you know, this is true, and you've got to be different, and you've got to teach the people there to be different. So you get the impression of people with problems with alcohol and easy money and loose living. And when he gives Titus the qualifications for elders in Crete, he does mention these things, that the people you appoint shouldn't be people like this, who drink too much, people who are immoral, etc. So you might get the impression that the problem in Crete amongst the Christians would have been, you know, drinking too much, deceiving to get money, deceiving passing visitors, etc. in the ports, because the sailors were going to sail off and they couldn't really do anything if they'd been ripped off, etc. You might think that they were the sort of problems, but in fact, you find that the letter is largely taken up with warning against turning to Judaism, warning Gentiles about turning to Judaism. You think, well, will those sort of guys really be likely to want to turn to Judaism of all religions? Yes. Think about it a bit, and it makes absolute sense. People whose lifestyle is not particularly great, and Paul directly accuses them of this. He says, you know, this is your problem, isn't it? Just as your own poets say about you, you have a tendency to laziness, to dishonesty, and drinking too much wine, etc. It would be very attractive to turn to Judaism, because instead of having to pretty much buck up your ideas and reform your whole life, you could just do a few rituals and then get on your high horse about, I am so pious, and you're free to carry on doing all the stuff you were doing before for the sake of doing a few rituals and claiming, of course, to be very zealously obedient to the true law of God, etc., etc. And you see that mentality in the people in the Christian church today, absolutely the same. People who at first blush you'd think, I don't suppose they'd be into legalism, because their lifestyle, excuse me, appears to be fairly out of line with the basic teaching of Jesus. Actually, yes, it would be. It makes perfect sense. And we've got to watch ourselves, because you can get into legalism and obeying bits and pieces of God's law in order to somehow justify you breaking the entire spirit of Jesus. This is the trouble. And the situation there on this island of Crete is absolutely a classic. Mike Flaherty and I were handing out sort of free food and coffees, etc., late at night in the red light area in Tel Aviv, around the bus station there, just at the back of the bus station. Place is full of brothels, prostitutes, etc., and it happened to be on the Sabbath. And we were handing the stuff out, handing out New Testaments, and inevitably you get talking with some of the unfortunate, sad women who work in that sort of area, and chit-chatting to them. And they were saying that, we're talking in Russian, but they were saying that, you know, that the Sabbath is the busiest day. Sabbath is when we do all our business, mainly with Orthodox Jews. And you think, Yeah, okay. Yeah, that sort of makes a kind of sense. And it's a bit like these people in Crete who were libertines, really, and yet they were attracted to legalism and to Judaism because it helped them to feel better about how they were behaving. Well, that's a warning for us. But then the other point I want to make is from verse 5. Paul says, I left you in Crete. So Paul and Titus had been in Crete. Paul left and he told Titus to carry on there with the pastoral work. And now he's writing to him from Rome. When was Paul in Crete? The only time ever mentioned that he was in Crete was very briefly during his journey to Rome. And you can find this in Acts 27 from 7 to 9. You can check this out. So it says there that they left sailing too late, really, and they were speeding on by all means to try to make it to Rome, but, well, the weather was against them. And they pull into a little inlet known as the Fair Havens, near to the town. Some versions call it the city, but I mean that really means the settlement. They pulled into the inlet of Fair Havens, that is near the settlement of Lasea. Well, Lasea would have been no more than a village with a few shops in it, and the inlet called Fair Havens is about 5 miles from that. So they pulled in, they were forced to pull in at Fair Havens, and there was nothing there. There was just this little village 5 miles down the road, bit of a long walk to go to the shops, go to the pub. I think that's the idea. The dear old AV says it was not a place commodious to spend the winter in. Well, yeah, it wasn't commodious, that's for sure. No hotels, no nightlife, no pub, no nothing. Five-mile walk to the nearest shop or pub or whatever. Not a great place, really, at all. And so they didn't want to spend much time there, and they say, now, let's push on and see if we can get to a much bigger town where we can spend the winter, still in Crete. So they push off, heading towards the much larger port of Phoenice. That's in Crete. But they didn't get there, because while they were sailing along the coast of Phoenice, they got blown right off course, and then there's the shipwreck and all that, and they end up on Malta. So they were only in Crete for a very short time. They pulled into Fair Havens. You can see where that is today. It's just an anchorage. It's not even a harbour. It's just a place where you could anchor a boat near Cape Leonda. And as I say, Lasea was 5 miles walk. So they pulled in there. And from that unlikely beginning, the gospel spread in Crete. And I would assume that Titus was one of the people who was with Paul, and the thing took off like wildfire, and Paul says, look, you stay here, mate, and let me go to Rome. Thanks for coming with me. You stay here and follow up the work here. So it was all absolutely bore the stamp of the hand of providence. Now, we put in on this little inlet where there was just a few people, just maybe a couple of houses, and we stayed there for a bit, not for very long, and all the guys said, nah, this is no good. 5 mile walk to the pub, no way, we're not staying here all winter. Let's try and get to Phoenice. So they weren't there for very long. And it just shows how quickly Paul was preaching and baptizing. That whole thing on Crete started with, well, just a few days, really. You can sort of work it all out, because the fast, that is the Day of Atonement, when long-distance maritime movement finished, or was supposed to finish, the fast was already passed, we're told. So the Day of Atonement was over. And if you then just work out some of the hints from later on in Acts 27, it's really clear they could not have been in Fair Havens, or this 5 miles away from Lasea. They couldn't have been there for more than a few days. And yet, in that period, he preached the gospel, baptized people, and now, at the point he's in Rome writing to Titus at this point, the whole island has got churches in most of its towns. And he says, yeah, you need to ordain elders in all those churches. So this all is the hand of providence. And this to me explains a difficult phrase in Acts 27:9, talking about their brief time in Fair Havens near Lasea. Now, when much time had been spent there, they decided to try to push on to Phoenice. It couldn't have been more than a few days. And so the expositors, in their quasi-learned kind of way, try to get around it by saying, well, it was a lot of time, relatively speaking. No, it says much time was spent there, but it wasn't. It was just a few days. Well, yeah, the history you're reading is God's history. This is God's story, his story, true history. From God's point of view, what happened in those few days that were spent around Fair Havens and the little settlement of Lasea, 5 miles down the road, the little time that was spent there was a big time from his point of view. It was highly significant because from those casual beginnings where, you know, just in a couple of days, Paul starts preaching to people, baptizing people, sets the whole thing up, and it spreads like wildfire amongst these people who were, you know, generally pretty deceptive, deceiving, visiting sailors and their passengers and prostitution and drinking too much alcohol and pretty laid-back sort of life. Strangely enough, these people were attracted to the message of Jesus Christ crucified and coming again. They thought it was great. And so they got baptized. And the thing took off to such an extent that Paul leaves Titus there. Well, there's a lot of implications from this, not least the speed of baptisms. You see that in Thessalonica, that he was there 3 Sabbath days and was working all the time apart from on the Sabbath, and he baptized people there, started the church there. Contact hours with Paul would have been limited, to put it mildly. And of course, when he writes to the Thessalonians, lo and behold, they've got all sorts of problems. Somebody dies and they're really upset about it. And he says, oh, no, you know, Jesus is coming back and it's going to be a resurrection. Don't dry your eyes, all's okay, really. They were clearly astray on fairly fundamental things. And so it's the same here in Crete, absolutely. But I think more to the point, as I see it, the absolute providence of it all. He had no idea that they were going to go to this place, Fair Havens. They just put in there, and I guess they would have been amongst the people who walked the 5 miles down to Lasea, check the place out, see what it's like. And all the other guys were saying, oh, as the AV says, it is not commodious to winter in, you know, no pubs or, you know, the pubs five miles walk down the road and back again, more to the point. And so, no, we don't like this place. But Paul was there preaching the gospel, baptizing people. Amazing, really and truly. It just shows the hand of providence. And from that apparently chance stop in a desolate place near Cape Leonda on the island of Crete, churches spread throughout that island because he tells Titus that you are to install elders in all the churches, in all the towns on the island. That is very quick spread of the gospel. So it just shows you that those whom you might consider to be not particularly interested are. Those whom you consider to not be good ground, you cannot judge that. There is a hole in every human heart that only Jesus and the gospel of Jesus can really fill. And when these people encountered it, they intuitively knew that, yeah, this is it. And yeah, there was no religion to join. Paul was like, yeah, I'm just passing through. I'm on my way to Rome. I'm not going to be here for 5 minutes, or at the most I'll be here over the winter, but I doubt that because the other guys don't want to stay here. All this was of God. And if you put your hand in God's and pray every day that you'll be led to the right people, he will lead you.